three, two.
Yum!
Thank you. Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man live from the Corn Green. And we are celebrating, of course, National Chocolate Mint Day. Even though we're not going to do anything with National Chocolate Mint Day, we wanted to let you know so that you can. And, you know, during the break, Tom, we are here with celebrated wine maker, wine in his name, wine everything, Tom Gore. Many awards, relatively young in the industry, but already winning national and world acclaims. But really, you caught. Tell our listeners what you said.
You told me that it rained so much that the driving range and the golf course was closed and that you've been in the rough all week. And I'm just wondering how that works.
Well, let's just put it this way, Tom. You stick to wine. I'll stick to the witty repartee. All right? We'll just keep it that way. Thanks a lot. Really? Thanks for listening. All right. Anyway, my friends, we're here with Tom Gore. It's so exciting. I mean, literally, I was talking about wandering the fields since 7 years old. You were literally doing that.
Yeah. You know, I was really lucky to grow up in that area and in Sonoma County, you know, walking vineyards with my dad. My aunt tells a story of me taking her out where a crew of guys was working. They were grafting over plants from one variety to another. And when I was 2 and a half, she told me, I told them what they were doing, that they were taking off the Zinfandel and putting on Cabernet and changing the variety. So it's really been something that I grew up with from day one. And I've just really, you know, all my friends wanted to be astronauts and police officers. I always wanted to be a grape farmer.
In California? Well, you sure they didn't want to be pot growers and
Kevin?
What?
My 5 to 7 year old friends did not have that ambition.
Oh, okay, all right. I don't know. They live a pretty.
Hippy dippy Kevin, however, at 5 years old was doing it, right? Yeah. Okay.
I was an advanced youth. What can I say? But it really it's a real success story. Unfortunately, your father was not here to see you actually produce your own wine. But I think it's interesting. Before we get to the recipe, because everybody's ready to eat, I see our good friend Bogdan is here, and he's already chowing down. I mean, he's got the couscous
he's got the
lamb going. But I think it's only appropriate to pay homage to the man who got you started. And this is really, and I think it's important you let people know why your name is on the bottle.
Well, you know, I'm really proud that it also represents my dad. Like I said, he really was the one that inspired me to kind of go take this direction, and it's. And was a big driver behind why I decided to go to farm grapes my whole life anyway. But I really, and my wife and I just had we have a 4-month-old son, and he's Tommy Jr., so we got TG3 coming up the.
TG3, that's awesome!
TG3. Why not, right?
Come on, man. I'm a little more original. Yeah, but TG3, that's good.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So Tommy Jr., yeah. Trey, we're still trying to work on what we're going to call him. We want him to kind of help us with the nickname. But, you know, I think the family legacy is a big part of why and how I got to where I am right now. And I really also think that we called it Tom Gore Vineyards because we really wanted to have a product that represented farming, what I do as a farmer, and hopefully spoke to the quality and the quality that we're producing.
Well, you know, it comes from a very, very amazing area of Sonoma. It's really Unuts Awa Oma Noma, which is WAPO for a Toyon Bush Berry Place, which is an ancient Indian dialect that no longer exists, but it was out.
Your wife's making fun of you.
What? Alexander Valley. I wanted to go with the authentic Indian name, and even though the dialect died out with the last speaker of it in 1982, I wanted to pay homage to your valley. And Alexander Valley, though, all kidding aside, is a very, very integral part in the really quality wine industry. And you're right there, right outside Geyserville.
Yeah, Russian River goes right down the middle of Alexander Valley. There's actually more miles of the Russian River in Alexander Valley than there is in Russian River Valley. I also farm a little bit in Russian River Valley. I farm a couple hundred acres in that general area. And, you know, you go up and down Sonoma. There's Sonoma Valley, Russian River Valley, Dry Creek Valley. Kind of Healdsburg and Geyserville is where all of that comes together, where you have Russian River heading out towards the west. Dry Creek is a little bit northwest. And then Alexander Valley is kind of heading up towards the northern part of Sonoma County. And, You know, they all kind of have their own little microclimate. They all have, and I think that's what happens as you evolve. We were talking earlier about the first plantings that the first plantings of Cabernet and Chardonnay that went in the 60s. Well, now, after that first generation of planting, you really start to find out what does better in each of these regions, and you get a chance every time that you redevelop a property and plant a new vineyard to give it a, to say what would, now what we learned in the last generation of planting, what do we want to plant this time? What do you want to put in this little soil spot? What do you want to put in that soil spot? So every time you redevelop a vineyard, we get a little bit more of the nuances of a property, and I think that's what helps take a growing region into the future.
And spoken like a true Cal Poly grad, right? I might add. But, my friends, what when you think of wine, you think of good times, but most importantly, food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we proposed the challenge to our wonderful executive chef and lead chef instructor, and we're going to start out with something near and dear to everyone's heart. Who doesn't like good lamb?
Yeah, and this is New Zealand lamb, so it's pretty tasty. We're very, very lucky to get it. It's really, really nicely done. And the first thing that we did, I actually started last night. I took some garlic and some mint and some turmeric, coriander, lemon zest. And I put it in a food processor, and I pulsed it till it started to get a little bit thick, and then I added some oil to make a paste. Huh?
Go what?
Go what?
Like a pesto.
Like a paste. and then I rubbed it on the lamb. And then I made a yogurt sauce that had yogurt and sriracha and lemon juice. And then I brushed that over the top of it and let that sit for 6 to 24 hours. Now what we have is the lamb on the counter. We're going to take it outside and grill it. And we're going to serve it with some couscous.
Now, obviously lamb, New Zealand lamb is considered like the holy grail of lamb.
This is the big green egg, yes.
Yes, we I do. Know. We're
top shelf.
Not have, I don't know, Sonoma Valley lamb. We have
Sonoma Valley wine.
I'm just saying.
To complement our New Zealand lamb.
That's right.
We're dual hemisphere.
That's right.
Dual hemisphere.
Taking a trip around the
world. But anyway, so now we're going to take it outside.
We are.
At the executive chef's behest.
Yep. Here we go.
And here we are walking.
Really? With a clunky? Okay. Ooh, do I have tongs?
Well, it's my heels.
You're wearing your quiet shoes today.
Yeah, well, I don't know how quiet it is. But anyway, so talk a little bit about the climate. Getting ready to put these on. The climate out there is, you've got to have heat and you've got to have,
oh,
and you get it all in the same day, 24-hour period.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the really unique things about Sonoma County is we get this real diurnal shift where it can be, even on a 100-degree day, it'll be 45 to 50 degrees in the morning when you wake up. So the cool weather in the morning and overnight really allows for the acid of the grapes to be held onto. And then the heat of the day is what ripens and gets the sugar going and gets them sweet. I really think that is a very important to high-quality wine grapes. And it also doesn't hurt because you can open your windows at night and get your house cooled down.
That is nice.
Yeah. Kind of that.
Yeah, so even on a hot day, I don't have air conditioning in the house, and we open up all the windows, and the cool air comes in, and we shut them down in the morning.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful way to be. Now, speaking of beautiful, how's the lamb going over there, Chef?
It's fabulous. We put the yogurt side down. We've got the cast iron grate going. Direct heat at 450 degrees. And I have so much lamb that I'm actually using a large... and a Minimax. So, love Minimax, too.
Now, tell us what the Minimax is all about.
So the Minimax is the same size as a small egg, but it's squattier. I don't know a better word to describe it than that.
Why do you look at me? Every time you say something short, fat, squatty, yeah. You always look at me.
You know, if the shoe fits, right?
Really? That's the way we're going to go.
Oh. Words.
No, I love the Minimax. Is if you're going to only have a couple of people, if you're going to tailgate, if you're cooking for, you know, you want to do a quick cook. The great thing about the Minimax is it heats up pretty quickly, and then it also cools down pretty quickly, and it uses a little bit less charcoal. So if you're going to do just every night cooking, that's what I use it for. It's also great to take camping, take it on the road, take it to the game, tailgating. I mean, it fits in the car. I put the seatbelt on it, and off we go.
as
Do you have a name for it? Well, you put a seatbelt on it.
It's my little...
Just match?
It's my big little green egg. Oh, little okay. big green egg? I don't know.
As a developing egghead,
yeah.
is there a difference in how you would build the fire for a quick... like a lamb versus a long, slow cook?
Well, with the low and slow, you're going to put a barrier between the fire and the food. Sorry about the background noise. We're outside. You want a barrier between the fire and the food. That way, anytime you're cooking anything larger than 2 inches thick or anything you're cooking longer than 20 minutes, you want to go indirect and make it like a convection oven. So anytime you're doing low and slow, that's what you're going to do. Now, you can do a reverse sear on like a steak. We do the big tomahawk steaks, and we'll start it on like an extra large, and we'll cook it like 275 for 45, 50 minutes, and then we'll get the mini max. We won't put the grate on it. We'll fill it all the way to the top with charcoal, get that fire super hot, and put the steak right on the coals and sear it off at the end. So, you know, we love...
Such versatility, kind of like your wines.
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be tasting the wine here in a few minutes to go yeah. with this. Now, how long are those? Because lamb chops, the ones you have, are fairly thin, so
they
it's
are.
Not going to take very long.
They're not going to take very long, but if you guys want to taste wine, I'll join you.
All right, let's go on in and get ready now. Tom,
I'm not opposed to that.
I'll tell you what. We're
Save
going to,
me some.
First of all, tell us a little bit about the varietals you brought with us. Brought with you today.
Well, we brought three mm-hmm. today. We brought Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Cabernet. And they all three, I think, represent what I do and what we do as farmers in a little bit of a different way. So I think that they're unique that way.
Well, and you're going to get a chance. In fact, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's have a challenge.
Okay.
We're going to taste the wine that you're going to pair. But you're going to teach us in this next segment, you're going to teach us the uninformed, not me, of course, but the uninformed. We're actually going to video this. We're going to make it available for everyone to see. I'm going to teach you a few things about how to taste wine, and then you can teach our viewers all over the world how to taste wine. How does that sound? You up for a challenge?
I'm up for a challenge.
Well, Tom Gore is definitely up for a challenge because he had the challenge of, can you imagine this, my friends? You spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. You get the bottle making, you get everything all done, you get it all set up, you take it out of the first pouring, you put it into the bottles, and then you're thinking to yourself before that first cork is popped, you're going, oh my God, this better be good. And I'm sure Maureen was sitting next to you going, it had better be. And of course, the rest, as we say, is histoire, and we'll find out what was it like that first sip, and what is it going to be like and learning how to taste wine, even if you've never tasted it. I'm sure you've got a tip for someone who's a snob. You got it?
Got it.
It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about a celebration of the good life. Thanks to Rob D'Amico, we're going to have an excellent video for you to see how this is done. Food, fun, and celebrating good life. That's what it's all about here at The Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.